Well, please come back to the book of Philemon as we consider these verses together this morning. And let me ask you, are you a nosy sort of person? Are you the kind of person who likes to pry into other people's business? The sort of person who will look over someone's shoulder while they're texting to see who they're talking to? Or the sort of person who will listen to other people's conversations while you're on the bus? I recently heard that on American currency, now they have the phrase, "In God we trust." But it wasn't always the case. Originally, their currency said, "Mind your business." That's normally how we feel about nosiness, isn't it? Mind your own business. But this morning, we're going to be a little bit nosy. You see, whenever we read a New Testament letter, it is as if we are opening someone else's post. We're actually reading a letter that was addressed to someone else. Now, these letters are written by the Apostle Paul and his companions to different individuals or different churches. And now normally we don't feel too guilty about reading these letters because the letter to the Galatians or to the Ephesians or the Corinthians, those are public letters that were supposed to be read to the whole church. So they aren't really personal correspondence. So we don't feel too guilty about that. And even when you get to Timothy and Titus, which are personal letters, the things that are addressed in those personal letters have such wide application to church leadership, the structure of church life, all of these big issues, that actually they have a lot of application for us. So I don't feel too guilty about reading Timothy or Titus. But I've never felt more nosy reading the Bible than when I read the letter to Philemon. So here is Paul. He's in his jail cell. And he is writing to Philemon in Colossae, a close friend, a fellow believer, a co-worker in the gospel. And what's he writing about? Is he writing about how to run the church that meets in his house? Is he writing about how to be a faithful preacher of the gospel? Is he writing about some big Christian doctrine? No, he is writing to try and repair the relationship between Philemon and his servant Onesimus. This is a very personalized letter. There aren't any wider issues that are touched on. It is all about the relationship between Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus. And here we are, poking our noses in. So why is this letter here? Why is such a personal letter included in the Bible? Well, I think it's there for a number of reasons, but this morning I just want to focus on one. Just look for a moment through these verses again and notice the repetition. Verse 1, Paul is a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Verse 3, Paul says, "Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 5, Philemon is described as a man of faith and love toward the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, Paul prays for Philemon's effectiveness for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, Paul says he is bold enough in Christ. Verse 9, Paul again says he is a prisoner for Christ Jesus. Verse 20, Paul asks Philemon to refresh his heart in Christ. Verse 23, Epaphras is a fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. And then finally, verse 25, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This letter is saturated. It is soaked in Christ. Around every corner, there is another mention of Christ. So why all the repetition? Why does he mention Christ so often? Well, Paul is writing to Philemon about this sticky situation between Philemon and Onesimus. And rather than this letter being the wisdom of an older man or the advice of a friend or a written counseling session, no, Paul, as he writes, is applying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to this situation. He is approaching the tension between Philemon and Onesimus through the lens of Christ. You see, as Christians, we don't just tag a little bit of Jesus onto the end of our lives. We aren't supposed to just sprinkle a little of Jesus here, a little of Jesus there. No, we are supposed to be immersed. We are drenched. We are all consumed with Jesus. We live and we breathe Jesus. Morning, noon, and night is for Jesus. He is our first thought when we wake up. He is our last thought when we go to bed. He is every thought in between, and he is every dream through the night. To live is Christ. Or at least it should be. And so you see, for Paul, as he approaches this tricky situation, his every thought has gone through the sieve of Jesus. So then, let's come back to my question. Why is this letter here? Why is the Bible including such a personal letter? Well, I believe that this is a case study in the power of Christ. It's recording for us an example of how to live a life saturated by Christ and to see how that life can turn things upside down. This example, this case study in the power of Christ shows us three things. It shows us that Christ's power is personal, Christ's power is relational, and Christ's power is refreshing. Personal, relational, and refreshing. Now let me first just set up the story. So Philemon lives in Colossae, and Philemon has a servant. His servant is named Onesimus. But it sounds as if Onesimus was not a particularly good servant. But one day, this pretty poor servant decides to make a run for it. He decides to make a dash for freedom. And so before he leaves, he raids the cupboards so he's got something to live on, and he legs it. Off he goes. Onesimus, now on the run, he ends up meeting Paul. Now, maybe Paul recognized him from one of his trips to Philemon's house. So he saw Onesimus and knew who he was. Or maybe Onesimus had found himself in a bit of trouble. He'd run out of money and he saw Paul and he thought, a friendly face. Who knows? We don't know how they ran into each other, but Onesimus has met Paul. And it is from that moment that this whole situation is plunged into the gospel of Christ, and everything is turned on its head. So let's see how this story of a runaway servant is transformed by Christ Jesus. Firstly, we see that Christ's power is personal. Look at verses 10 and 11. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Now, we used to go on family holidays to Yorkshire. We often went to a little village called Reeth. Now, in the church at Reeth, we got to know a few people because we went year after year. And apart from the pastor, whose name was George Hemmings, I don't think he's any relation, but apart from the pastor, there is one name that stands out in my memory, and that is John Little. Now, the reason why John Little's name stands out is because in reality, he wasn't actually very little. The name didn't quite fit. I also have a friend by the name of Jim Short, but he actually is quite short. But it's funny, isn't it, how names can either fit like a glove or they can be brilliantly ironic. John Little, who wasn't very little, or Jim Short, who actually is quite short. Well, Onesimus, his name is brilliantly ironic. His name means helpful or useful. It's a lovely name, isn't it? But in reality, he's useless. He's a servant in Philemon's house, but he's actually a waste of space. The servant who doesn't serve. Philemon was probably secretly relieved when Onesimus ran away, because he was just a drain on his resources. But then all of that changed. In verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. The once useless Onesimus is a new man. He's turned his life around. He's been transformed. But how did that happen? Did he just decide one day he was going to get his act together? Was he fed up of people joking about his name? Onesimus, helpful? Yeah, right. No, there is something more fundamental going on. There is something more dramatic at work. Look at verse 10. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. He has become Paul's spiritual child. So having run away from Philemon, Onesimus bumps into Paul, and Paul shares the gospel with him. And Paul tells Onesimus that he is a sinner, that he is guilty, and that he needs to be forgiven. Forgiven not just by Philemon, but forgiven by God himself. And Jesus Christ has come into the world for exactly that reason. Perhaps Paul shared a little bit of how he came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ after being an angry and bitter and murderous man. And so then, having heard about this Jesus who saves guilty sinners, Onesimus says, that's me. I need a saviour. And he puts his faith in Jesus. Onesimus hasn't just gone from useless to useful. No, he has gone from guilty to forgiven. He has gone from sinner to saved. He's gone from death to life. And so now that his soul is right with God, the rest of his life has been transformed as well. This fundamental change in his heart has meant that he's no longer the lazy runaway, but he is an eager servant. The gospel has a power that is personal. Now, maybe as you look at your own life, you see things that aren't quite right. Maybe you are like Onesimus, you're lazy, useless. Perhaps for you have an anger problem. Perhaps you lack patience and compassion. And perhaps there's an addiction of some kind. Well, just as Onesimus's problem was just a surface problem, and in reality, a deeper transformation was needed, so too, whatever it is in your life that you see as the problem, that is only on the surface. That is a symptom of something deeper. What you need is not surface reform, not to turn over a new leaf. What you need is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will turn your life upside down. So, as the Apostle Paul plunges this whole situation into the gospel of Christ, we see the effect that this has on Onesimus. And we see that Christ's power is personal. Secondly, we see that it is relational. Look at verses 15 and 16. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. From what we know about the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus, it seems as if they aren't on great terms. Things aren't just a little bit frosty between them. No, they are ice cold. It is as if a wedge has been driven between them. And every single day something happens that drives the wedge down deeper, and it pushes them further and further and further apart. On both sides, there's probably enough bitterness to keep them apart for a lifetime. Onesimus, the disgruntled employee, lacks motivation, always shows up late, doesn't participate, doesn't work well with others, always negative. Onesimus is not happy in his role as a servant. But then on the flip side, there's Philemon, the dissatisfied employer. He has to put up with this negativity all day. He constantly has to send people to chase up after Onesimus to make sure he's done what he's supposed to do. Even when he does do his work, it's shoddy and half-hearted. And then at the end of the day, he still has to pay his wage and put food on his table. And just to put icing on the cake, he's raided the cupboards and legged it. The relationship between this servant and his master, it could not get much worse. But then all of that changed. Everything that had kept them apart is now dissolved. The ice that had frozen their relationship had melted away. The barrier wall between them is broken down. But how? How did that happen? Counseling? negotiations, peace talks. No, yet again, there is something more fundamental, something more dramatic going on. They don't simply just put the past behind them and bury the hatchet, agree to disagree. Instead, we're told in verse 16, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother. He ran away as a servant, but now that he is trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been welcomed into the kingdom of the Lord. He has been adopted into the family of God. And so now, Philemon and Onesimus share the same Father in heaven. They are brothers in the faith. And so Paul, as he calls for Philemon to welcome Onesimus back, he says to welcome him in the same way that he'd welcome Paul himself. Paul promises to pay Philemon whatever Onesimus had stolen. So now the debt is cancelled out. What had pushed them apart has been dealt with. Welcome him home, Philemon, because now he's part of the family. Christian friend, are there people in the church with whom your relationship is ice cold? Maybe they said something and you just can't let it go. Or maybe you're the one that said it. Perhaps they've done something that you think is just unforgivable. Perhaps they're constantly pushing your buttons and hitting a raw nerve. Is there an Onesimus in your life? Or maybe you are the Onesimus. Well, if you have both trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have both been adopted into God's family, your brothers and sisters, your family. Of course, families bicker and they tease one another, they wind one another up. But at the end of the day, we love one another because we're family. That the wedge that was driving us apart has been taken out. That the wrong that has been committed has been dealt with. That's the heart of the gospel, isn't it? There was a wedge of sin driven between us and God. But now Jesus Christ has taken that away. That there were countless wrongs that you and I had committed, but Christ has dealt with every single one. Do you have higher standards than Jesus? Are you more just and righteous than Jesus? If Jesus has forgiven them of that sin, then how can you or I hold it against them? Forgiveness is hard. It wouldn't have been easy for Philemon to welcome this lazy servant back in his house. But this is putting the gospel into practice. Jesus himself says it like this. There's a king, and he's settling accounts with his servants. One servant comes up who owed him £5.5 billion. And Jesus used a different currency. I've borrowed someone else's maths to convert it to pounds. 5.5 billion pounds. Well, the servant didn't have that kind of money, did he? And so the king ordered that this servant be taken away, sold, his wife, his kids, his possessions, sold. But the servant fell to his knees, pleads with the king, please, just give me a little more time. Just don't send us away. And the king looks at this poor, distraught man. And he says, okay, I tell you what, you'll never be able to pay this. You'll never be able to pay me back. So let's just forget about the whole thing. Forget that you owed me anything. And so the man jumps to his feet. He hugs the king and thanks him over and over and over again. And off he goes, a free man. Later that same day, the servant goes out and he finds one of his friends, a fellow servant, who owed him £8,500. It's a substantial amount, but nothing compared to 5.5 billion. And yet this man grabbed him by the neck, started choking him, saying, pay up. Yet the friend falls to his knees and pleads with him, please, just give me a little more time. But the servant, in spite of that huge debt that has just been wiped out, he shows no mercy, no kindness, no generosity. He puts the man in prison until he pays him back in full. Well, as you can imagine, when the king finds out what he has done, he summons this servant back to his courts. And this is what he says. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? You can read the full story in Matthew 18. But do you see the point? Was it easy for the servant to forgive that debt of 8,500? No, of course not. Was it easy for Philemon to welcome home Onesimus? No. Is it easy for you to forgive the one who has done you wrong? No. But the King of creation says to us, should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? Onesimus was a lazy freeloader of a servant who ran off with a bag full of Philemon's stuff. But now he comes home as a brother in the faith. And as the Apostle Paul plunges this whole situation into the gospel of Christ, we see the effect that this has on Philemon. And we see that Christ's power is relational. Thirdly, and more briefly, we see that Christ's power is refreshing. Look at verse 20. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul is sat in this dark, cramped, uncomfortable prison cell. Time and time and time again, Paul has taken a metaphorical and often a literal beating for his work for Christ. And I'm sure there were times where he felt battered and bruised and weary. And yet as he sends Onesimus back to Philemon, the prospect of these two being reunited brings hope to his soul. Like a sip of ice-cold lemonade on a scorching hot day. Like a good laugh with friends after a rough day at work. Paul says, Philemon, If you take Onesimus back, it will lift my spirits. It'll be so encouraging to hear of how you've forgiven him and welcomed him home. Paul doesn't actually get any benefit from this, does he? It doesn't make his time in prison any easier. It doesn't help his court case. He gets no physical benefit, but it will bring him joy to see Philemon forgive Onesimus, just as Christ has forgiven Philemon. Watching the gospel in action, it's good for the soul. It is heartwarming. It is encouraging. It's refreshing. I wonder if you've been refreshed lately. And with the non-stop onslaught of bad news, we need a bit of refreshment, don't we? And let me tell you some of the things that have refreshed me lately. Actually, the news that we will soon be able to gather as a church, that was refreshing. We haven't gathered yet, but just the news, hearing the prospect, that was refreshing. Something else, I heard that someone in the church had sent out packages of resources for kids to some of the families in the church who've suddenly found their kids at home all day. We didn't get a parcel, but that was so refreshing. It's such a thoughtful gesture to send that to those families. I know of one person in the church who's put a chair at the end of someone else's front garden so that they can sit and have regular catch-ups while maintaining social distance. Isn't that great? It's not outside my house. It doesn't benefit me, but it was refreshing to hear that someone else is doing that. I know someone else who is currently working about 15 hours on top of their full-time job just to keep the church running. That's so refreshing. How sacrificial of them. I know quite a few people who've made use of the rules about having six people in your garden to have people over for a barbecue or a meal. That one was so good, we stole that one. We had some people over as well. Maybe that can happen more often in the summer. It's refreshing to hear of these little bits and pieces of where the gospel has been put into action, where people are showing the love of Christ to one another. It is good for the soul. I could go on with other examples, but in this time where we can't gather as a church normally, there are still so many ways in which we can put the gospel into action. Paul was separated from Philemon in a lockdown that was far worse than ours. And yet the thought of Christ reconciling these two men, it was refreshing to his soul. Brothers and sisters, refresh my soul in Christ. I hope and I pray that I can refresh your soul in Christ by putting the gospel into action. Because as the Apostle Paul plunges this whole situation into the gospel of Christ, we see the effect that it has on Paul himself. And we see that Christ's power is refreshing. So then, this morning, as we've poked our noses into Paul's little letter to Philemon, we have seen this hopeless situation turned on its head by the power of Christ. A useless servant, a fugitive thief, and a lonely prisoner. But through the transforming power of Christ, everything has changed. The useless servant is now a useful son. The fugitive thief is now a reconciled brother. The lonely prisoner is now a refreshed man. And there's so much more that we could say about this little letter. But even at first glance, we see that Christ's power is personal, it's relational, and it is refreshing. I pray that we wouldn't just see this written in the letter, but that we would experience it in our own hearts. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this personal letter is included in your word. Lord, thank you that it shows to us the transformation that took place in Onesimus's heart. Thank you that it shows us the transformation that took place in Philemon's relationship with Onesimus. Thank you that it shows us the transformation that took place in the heart of Paul. Heavenly Father, we pray that we wouldn't just read about your power, that we wouldn't just read the words of this page of the power of the gospel, but that we would know it in our own lives. Because we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.